It's time to take off your clothes, enjoy clothes-free living, and join us for Naked, Nudist, and Naturist.
Welcome to Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, the show that celebrates clothes-free living for all. I'm your host, Frank Stone.
And I'm your correspondent, Lisa Monroe, and I'll be reporting on all things within the naturist community. So it's time to get naked and join us.
And enjoy clothes-free living on Naked, Nudists, and Naturists. Well, greetings and welcome in to Naked, Nudists, and Naturists, episode 38 today. Thank you for being with us. As I mentioned, just about every week, we look forward to this time together where we can get together with you and celebrate the joys of clothes-free living for all of the right reasons. And as we get together today, the scenario is the same. Just picture yourself walking in. The pool is ready to go. Looks inviting. You even have a raft or two out there. The hot tub is fired up. There's a little campfire out back in case you want to roast marshmallows or something else. The grill is going at full speed. You're filling the air with the terrific smells of what we're going to eat in a little bit. Vegetables and fruit off to the right, cold drinks off to the left, sunshine everywhere. We are just going to enjoy this time together with you, enjoying clothes-free living for all of the right reasons. Before I get into today's show, just a quick reminder, if you don't mind, we hardly ever ask for anything in return, but if you can please give us a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whichever one you listen to, or both, we would appreciate that very much. And also YouTube, we give you a brand new preview of the upcoming show every Wednesday morning, 6 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time on YouTube. If you can subscribe and review there, we'd appreciate it. So we're looking for reviews, and you subscribe. It's all free, but it helps our numbers in the podcast world. We're already way up there in the naturism world, and it helps us a lot in the overall podcast world. So we appreciate it. Like, subscribe, review, Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. Well, on today's show, we will have a report from Andy Rogers. She's with WINR, Women in Nude Recreation, for the American Association for Nude Recreation. She has been on this tour, I'm Perfect, promoting naturism for women and to women. And today is report number 3. And she also has her husband with her. His name is Tom, and he will be contributing as well. We will give that to you in just a moment. We will also have an interview with a gentleman who was from California. Now he's living in the Washington, D.C. area, has significant body issues, and found naturism, and now he's not turning back. And we will hear his story. His name is Zane Landon, and we'll talk to him right after Andy Rogers and Tom give us their report. Our terrific correspondent on naturism, Lisa Monroe, will be here. And our interview today is with Dario Western. He's a nudist, naturist, musician out of Australia. You might have heard of him before. And we will play part one of my interview with Dario Western during the second half of today's show. Again, you're listening to Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, episode 38. And now let's get to the report from Andy Rogers and her husband, Tom.
Hi, this is Andy.
And this is Tom on the WINR on Wheels I'm Perfect Tour.
So our drive into Lupin Lodge was a little slow going as the roads are windy and narrow. And we missed the turnoff, which meant meandering farther up the ravine and the hillside to find a place to turn this big 32-foot boat around, which was totally the navigator's fault. And, you know, that just happens to be me. So sorry, Tom. Not an easy task on the back roads. But we got to the main office entrance, and we were warmly greeted by the office staff. And once we were all set up for the weekend, we quickly made friends and shared the evening and a few shots of whiskey together. And then we walked around the grounds a bit before the rains came. And there are a lot of great places to sit and either be alone or enjoy the company of the friends that you meet there. George Oberle, who has been instrumental in web design for Lupin and also for the AANR website, came out to meet us. And it's always great to put a face to a name, and I just really want to thank him for taking the time to do that. So thanks, George. There were flood warnings in the area, so there were not many people who ventured out to the park during our visit. But as they say, the show must go on, and we don't mind a little bit of rain. Saturday's workshop, four women joined in for an intimate time around the fire in the dining room. And one connection that seems to resonate, and it did with this group of women especially, was the unkind words that we hear our whole life and how big of an impact that can have on us. These words continue to follow throughout our life until we figure out a way to change that narrative. This is what I've accomplished in my life and one of the points I share with the women who attend the workshop. So changing the narrative sometimes means changing your way of life, and I know that is not always easy to accomplish. At the end of our time together, Kurt volunteered to be our live model, and we all joined in to write words of encouragement on her body, some of which included courage, love, talented, acceptance, and lovely. And I gave everyone an I'm perfect sticker to take home with them, to remind them of how perfect they are, and encourage them to take one to share if they knew someone that could benefit from that.
I had a great conversation with one gentleman during our stay there, and we started our conversation out about how to get younger people more interested in coming up to the clubs. We talked about how we needed to advertise in the right places and just by offering more than just the beautiful grounds of the club. Then we talked a bit about Anner. And we talked about Anner because he actually knew nothing about Anner. And so we talked about what Anner is doing to secure our rights to be nude. And we just had a great conversation about that. And so far on our journey, I'm realizing that I'm hearing this quite a bit. I'm not sure how to react to this, but we'll get to the bottom of it.
We are hearing it a lot. So it's interesting. One of the things maybe that was surprising about the trip, don't you think?
Yes, definitely.
And then Lori K. Stout, the owner of Lupin, came to visit us on Sunday. And we talked about the future of Lupin. Some of you may know that it's for sale currently. They are looking into a couple of different things or ways to handle that. And one is she has the interest of a non-textile party. That would be preferable, of course, to hopefully keep Lupin Lodge a nudist retreat. But other things are looking at making a new Lupin, a non-landed club possibly, or looking for a piece of property not far from the location where they're at that's would be a bit smaller, of course, but also just be a great place for them to gather. And anyway, if you'd like to look at what's going on there, go to their website and sign up for their newsletter, and you can be kept in the loop about what's going on with that. So until next time, thanks everybody. We'll see you then.
We'll see you.
And there you go, the terrific Andy Rogers and her husband, Tom. She is the winner chair for AANR, and we will have report number 4 from Andy Rogers and her husband, Tom, on next week's show. Well, you are listening to Naked Nudists and Naturists, episode 38. We appreciate you being with us. We enjoy this time together. And now let's get to a brief interview that I did with Zane Landon, multiple body issues in his younger years. Not that he's an old man yet, but he did find nudism, naturism. He's never turning back and has embraced the life fully. So let's get to it now. My interview with Zane Landon. We are going to head to the nation's capital today. That's right, the Washington, D.C. area. We're going to talk to a young gentleman who's going to tell us about his naturism and nudism journey, how he found it, what it's done for him. So let's bring him to the show this morning from Washington, D.C., Zane Landon. Good morning, Zane. How are you today, sir?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
Not bad at all. I appreciate you asking. So let's get to it. You discovered this naturism, nudism thing. You haven't looked back. You've loved it ever since and has done a lot of good for you. Maybe just take us from the beginning. What was it like growing up? Were you allowed to be nude? Was it get your clothes on or else you're in trouble? And then take us from there, how you found it.
I guess going back, you know, as a kid, I always enjoyed being nude, but I always think that there's a time and place where it's acceptable when you're a kid. And then like when you go into like the territory of adolescence away from toddler, that you're not allowed to do that anymore, depending on what kind of family you're from. And so, you know, when I was an adolescent up, weren't really liberal about it. not as much as when I was a kid, which makes sense. But, you know, I've always been interested in it. It always seemed exciting, even before, like, I learned about that I could potentially do it. Like, I was reading different articles on why it's good. Sleeping naked's fun. So I always did that. And so, yeah, there wasn't a lot of much happening when, again, adolescence up. But it wasn't until I was in university, I was 20 years old, where I first started dating someone. I met my first partner, and we're still together. And I kind of expressed interest kind of almost ASAP, probably early on, that I always wanted to go to a nude beach. There weren't really many around me in California, so it wasn't like I could just go to any. But there was Black's Beach, which is kind of a famous nude beach in San Diego. Yeah. And so we were going to go to another nude beach that day, but apparently it's not a nude beach unless it changed. Or the cops, when we got there, we kind of asked the cops, is this a nude beach? They're like, no, it's not. And we're like, ugh. A little suspicious. Maybe they didn't just want us to do that then. Yeah. So, like, on the whim, we just drove to San Diego, which was like 2-hour drive. And it was something we didn't plan at all. But gosh, when I got there, I was super excited. Like, when I saw, again, because there's a, if you've ever been, it's like you're on a cliff and there's like a kind of a long hike down. They call it like the goat path. Yeah. And it takes like probably a good 10 to 15 minutes to walk down. And it's a very unfortunate walk back up because it's like 20-30 minute, well, back then, yes, it was a lot harder to get back up, and it was probably like 20-30 minutes, and we left at night. I'm going ahead of myself. It was pretty funny because right when I got down there, I immediately stripped down, like immediately, like the moment probably I touched the sand.
That's the way to do because
when we were up there, before we even walked down, I was like kind of, I was asking my partner, like, can I already get naked now? And he's like, no, you have to kind of wait because you're still like on the city and it's not designated till you reach the sand, which was kind of annoying, but it was just super exciting. And it was intriguing to just see people who were naked and didn't even care. And that to me was liberating in itself because, you know, I've always, well, I didn't share, but I've always had like body issues with being bigger, being chubby. And so it was really exciting to see people just comfortable in their own body without even caring. And you know, like I said, even though when I got there, I wasn't shy, but there was still a lot of mental stuff happening. Like, how am I going to feel self-conscious wise? But I learned quickly that, you know, in these spaces, people don't judge and they better not. That was the first time. And it was really cool.
Yeah. And to me, and I've heard this a number of times. It's also been my experience. When the clothes come off, everything else gets stripped away too. The nonsense, the judging, the looking, look at that, look at him, look at her. All that goes away. We're just enjoying, as I say on the show all the time, enjoying clothes-free living for all the right reasons. And it makes a difference, doesn't it? Now think about how you felt that day. You took all of your clothes off. You're naked as a jaybird on the beach, and you felt great about it. What if you would have had a bathing suit on? How would you have felt? I'm guessing a whole lot differently, right?
I maybe would feel a little self-conscious, mostly because most people were nude. I mean, there was a good chunk that weren't. And so even if I did wear a bathing suit, I wouldn't feel completely left out. I went there with a certain intention. And if I didn't strip down, I just kind of felt like I wasn't embracing what I kind of always wanted to do. And also I feel like I was kind of failing myself because if I didn't strip down, it was going to come from what I thought people would think of me rather than what I thought of myself. And so I decided to just think about myself and rather not focus on what other people thought because I've been doing that too long. and it was pretty nice.
Well, I guess what I'm looking at is a lot of people will tell me they put a bathing suit on, man or woman, and they immediately feel self-conscious. This is too big. This is too small. They're going to make fun of this. But if you're nude, it's like, who gives a darn? It's all out there. Do what you want. I'm living clothes-free and enjoying it. Did you notice the difference between your previous trips at a textile beach with a suit on as opposed to Black Beach when you're fully nude?
Oh God, yeah, 100%. Yeah. Because when I go to a regular beach, for one, I would never take my shirt off.
Right.
And that's, again, talking about the self-conscious of being bigger. And so I never did that. Of course, I would always be in trunks, never a Speedo, and I would be wearing a shirt. So it was already almost as like not revealing at all to the point where it was like how I normally dressed. Yeah. And so from that to the extreme of not wearing anything, there's nothing to really care about. Because I think that, like, again, like I think that's interesting, but it makes sense because if you are focusing on what you're wearing, you're focusing on what you're covering. Mm-hmm. And it feels like a disconnect because especially at a new beach where you're seeing people feel comfortable or being liberated by just not wearing anything. It's, again, you're focusing more on what you're trying to cover rather than just kind of being free.
Isn't that wild how that works? You try to explain that to somebody who's never tried it before, and they just look at you like you're crazy. But then they try and they say, oh, now I get it.
Oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. And I try to explain this to some people online that I talk to where I say, oh, you know, I've been to new places. And in fact, I actually feel so much better in my body without clothes than with. They're like, oh, that doesn't really make a lot of sense. I'm like, for some people, it doesn't. Because, you know, for some people, they don't like their naked body. And, and some people don't even like being naked or even just the feeling of it. I know some people that are like that. And I don't really understand it, but that's their choice, and that's how they feel. And so I do get it, though.
Yeah, but now that you've experienced it and you've delved in and you're doing it, you're probably not going to go back the other way, right? You're not going to say, what can I find the next textile beach? That's basically gone, right?
No, unless I live by a textile beach and it's convenient to just go there. Right. But I would love to just live nearby a nude beach. That would be amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything in the D.C. area, nudist club-wise, like in Virginia?
I think there are a couple of clubs and like some of those Korean spas. I just have not been to them. Okay. I've just kind of like stayed in my apartment nude as much as I can. But I haven't gone into the nude scene in D.C. as much. I'm trying to look into it. And I even saw like an event posted recently or like a nude brunch. But I still haven't gone yet. Still a little, still trying to find my place because I just moved here still.
Okay. Yeah, that's usually how it starts off when you're, especially when you're new in a town, look for those meetups, those fairly innocuous, non-threatening moments where you can go and just hang out nude with other nude people. And then it grows from there. And that's probably the best way to go. And how long have you been there? You said off air about a year or so.
Yeah, I moved here last January. So a year and a month.
Okay. All right. So you have a little bit of time yet. But yeah, I would get out there. I mean, it's easy for me to give you advice that I'm not going to follow because it's you and your life. But yeah, just get out there and meet people. If you know places where there are meetups or nude brunches, yeah, and go for it. The old expression, you have nothing to lose but your clothes, right?
No, yeah. And also I think that I know some people look at it as black and white. Oh, you're just naked and that's it. But I do think that like if you are in a space of other naked people, you already are. How do I say it? I feel like you're already unpeeling a layer there rather than, okay, I'm going to go hang out with some people and we're all clothed. If you go hang out with people and you're all naked, it's like, oh, there's actually like a vulnerability there that you already are starting off with. And so it's kind of nice that you're kind of already at a somewhat vulnerable place and you probably can connect deeper in that way.
Yeah. And you can actually get to know the person much more quickly and much more deeply because you're not playing these games with special shirt or special pants or special shoes. You're not playing those games. It's all gone. It's just you and it's just me and it's just her or him. And then we get to know each other a whole lot better. That's why it works so well. One quick question. You mentioned at Black's Beach, the famous nude beach in San Diego. You said a lot of people had clothes on. I didn't realize that was the case.
I wouldn't say a lot, but probably like 40%.
Wow. I didn't know
I'm trying to remember. It wasn't super crowded, which was super nice. But I did still see a good chunk of clothed people because when I remember looking down at first over the cliff, I was like, are you sure this is a nude beach? I'm not seeing anybody. And then when we actually got down close to the sand, I was like, oh, there's a naked person. There we go.
Okay.
But hey, that's okay. I think, you know, there's a good mix of people, which is really nice.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. Now, I had heard years ago, or I had heard this years ago, just don't know if it's still true, a lot of females would go there and keep their clothes on to check out all the naked guys. I don't know if that still goes on or, well, it sounds like some of that's going on, right? If clothed people are just showing up and keeping their clothes on at a nude beach, maybe that's what they're doing, you think, or what?
I hope not. It's not really the place to do that, to be leering and checking people out. I mean, you can, you know, I don't think that's the place for that. And so I saw some of that. Like, I saw even around me, there was a couple women that were clothed. And so that was interesting. Yeah. Maybe they're more self-conscious, but, you know, hopefully they will get over that.
Yeah. And there's some advantage to, okay, I want to try this naturism thing. I'm not quite ready. I'll go to a beach. I'll keep my clothes on. I'll check it out.
Eventually,
okay, now it feels safe. I'll take my clothes off. Maybe right away, maybe the 10th trip, but at least they're venturing in and experimenting with it. Maybe that's what it's more about than anything else, right?
Yeah, you never know. I don't know what people's intentions were, but you hope people get to that point, because not everyone can just, again, immediately go there and strip down. Like, yeah. I've even talked to people that were like, oh, they're scared to go to a nude beach because they're worried about what people will think and they have like body issues. And I try and tell people it really isn't the case that, not that you don't have body issues, but it's not the case that people are going to say anything to you. And if there really is the unfortunate rarity that someone does say something to your face, just leave and, you know, yeah. or report them, or I don't know if you can report them, but it's just inappropriate behavior, in my opinion, yeah. especially if you go to like, maybe not beaches, but like designated nude resorts. Like, yeah, I remember going, I went to one, and like they said, if people are leering, if you're feeling uncomfortable, someone mentions something about your body, you can call the office and they'll they'll talk to them, or they'll just kick them out, which that's very nice, because that should not be the case for these places at all.
Yeah, I agree. Well, it's been great to talk to you. We've been talking to Zane Landon, fairly new entry person into the world of naturism, nudism. Loves every second, not looking back, not going back. And Zane Landon, go out there and have a great clothes-free day. And thank you for being with us today. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
Oh, you bet. The very terrific Zane Landon. We hear this story a lot, and I'm glad Zane agreed to come on the show and tell it. Lots of body issues, self-esteem issues. The list goes on and on. The clothes come off and wow, everything is gone. I feel great. I feel alive. I feel like me. That's because naturism, nudism, clothes-free living, for all of the right reasons, truly does work. Well, you are listening to Naked Nudist and Naturist, episode 38 today. We thank you for being with us. Hope you're having a great time during this hour. And as you can tell by the music that is sneaking in on us, it is time for the great, the terrific, the one and only, our weekly correspondent on naturism, Lisa Monroe. And here she is, the over-the-top, the fully clothes-free, fully smiling, and yes, dancing her way to the microphone. She's seated now, which we're glad for. The terrific Lisa Monroe. Good morning, Lisa. How are you today?
Good morning. And whew, that dancing will take a lot out of you. I'm glad to be seated.
You know, I think I can honestly say, and this has nothing necessarily to do with naturism, for sure there's not a day that goes by that I do not sing a lot, as in out loud, especially, you know, when I'm by myself. I don't sing in the middle of a grocery store. I don't think there's a day that passes where I don't dance around too, either to be funny or to be silly. I am not a professional dancer, so there's no showing off and nobody sees me. Same with you. Do you kind of sing or hum a tune and maybe dance around a bit?
My entire life, I have done nothing but sing and dance around for the house. Right. I mean, something, I listen to the radio or to streaming music a lot. And the other day, this song came on and I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm just dancing through the house, and I'm like, what the heck are you doing? You were in the middle of something. And there I was. So absolutely, you know, you have that need to move and enjoy and embrace when you hear music. So, and I'm not a professional dancer. I took ballet for years, but I'm not a professional singer.
I'm sure there's research out there that says if you sing or if you dance or if you do both, you just tend to feel a little happier. So why not do both? And especially with your clothes off, even better, right?
Absolutely. I think, you know, if we don't enjoy life, what point is there?
Well, there you go. All right. Well, today we have a shorter segment than usual. Same with next week's show because of some other activities on the show. And today we have a poem sent in by a listener and also an email from a listener. So let's start with the poem. We can use his name, he said. Armando. I hope that's how you pronounce that. I'll read the first half, Lisa, and then I'll turn it over to you. But Armando says, put some clothes on, cover up, you say. But the prophets preached nude every day. Those parts are shameful, ugly, and crude. Yet Jesus washed the disciples' feet in the nude. I feel comfortable, natural, and happy this way. So I should be able to live life like this all day. Take it from there.
Clothes are a symbol of man's separation from God, and your rules make the natural seem very odd. Clothes should be worn for protection from cold, sun, and rain, not as symbols for status for the vain. Being in my natural state is a sin. I wonder whose image I was created in.
There you go.
I like that poem.
All the naturist nudists and non-naturist nudists agree on one thing. We were born naked. We had no clothes on when we were born. I'm guessing that's the same for you. You didn't come out in an evening gown and high heels, I guess, right?
No, I did claim I was playing baseball in the nursery to my father when I was about four. So I might have had a glove. I don't know, but...
Yeah, and we've had people on the show before. We've had Phil, who will have a longer interview coming down the road. And obviously, Pastor Jim has talked about it, and some other people. Bruce has been on. That's how we were created. We were created to be nude. That's why we were born that way, for heaven's sakes, literally, for heaven's sakes. And so just keep your clothes off. We talk about clothes-free living for all the right reasons. You don't prance up and down the street that way because society has taken over, and they have rules in place. You can't do that. You can't do this. But otherwise, like he said, being in my natural state is a sin, meaning being naked is a sin. I wonder whose image I was created in. Well, we know, and that's why we were born with no clothes on. I'm guessing you agree.
I certainly do. And I think that convention puts us in clothing when we don't need to be. So I can see it, the rain and the snow and the cold.
That's right.
When it's not, why should I have to do that?
I agree. Let's move on to an email now from a gentleman who asked us to not use his name or tell anybody where he lives because of his profession, the job he's in. But let me start with you, Lisa. Go ahead and read the first paragraph, if you will.
My journey with being a nudist started when I was quite overweight. I have since lost 165 pounds. And while I still have more to lose, I became a nudist when I was at my heaviest. I literally hated my body. And when I looked up on the internet on the subject of hating one's body, that led to a body acceptance, which, you guessed it, led to nudism. My first reaction was, oh, hell no. But the more I read, the more it made sense.
All right, I'll continue on. Once I did go to a resort for the first time, and the first time I took all my clothes off, the strangest thing happened, capital letters, nothing at all. I expected babies to start crying and dogs running away frightened, yipping all the way, but no, it was such a non-event that I was dumbfounded. Within a few minutes, I was hooked. I am continuously yet pleasantly surprised when you end up having so much in common with people you just met. I'll take it from there.
Unfortunately, I have a religious community of friends and relatives that wouldn't understand nudism and are convinced that naked equals sex. I like to point out that in the same way that to be pregnant, you have to be a woman, and yet just because you're a woman doesn't mean you're pregnant. Nudism is the same. In order to have sex, you need to be naked, but just because you're naked doesn't mean you have to have sex or be thinking about it. It is possible to just appreciate the naked form without sexual intent. Anyway, because of this, I will consent to you using my story if you want, but I can't consent to my name being used. Sorry.
And I'll finish up. Thank you for continuing to stress the, in quotation marks, all the right reasons, end quote, aspect of nudism, naturism. I like bedroom activities just as much as the next guy, but I also understand the concept of where when everybody's naked, then nobody's naked, as you often say. So we appreciate that email, and that's probably a very big point to make. We often say, as, you know, we hear this from a lot of people, sex and nudism are not hand in hand. You're living clothes for the right reasons and so on and so forth. But that doesn't mean we don't enjoy sexual activities. It's just we don't use the nudism, naturism for the purpose of sex. Does that make any sense at all?
It makes perfect sense. And I think that when we start to realize that, you know, I guess it's a matter of control and restraint and respect. I mean, just because someone's naked doesn't mean, you know, you're going to run off with them.
Mm-hmm.
I think because it's a fear of people in nudist resorts to have someone, you know, show up who has that intent. So they police it. So they become overly obsessed with this, I think. And, you know, it's a fine line, I suppose, in some ways. But we have to learn to separate the two. And because you like one doesn't mean you don't like the other. And because you like one doesn't mean that's all you want to do.
Well, there you go. Unfortunately, Lisa, we have to duck out early today. As I mentioned, it's a short segment. We appreciate all of our listeners sending in poems and emails and stories, and we'll read as many as we can. And Lisa Monroe, go out there and have a clothes-free week, fully smiling week, and we will see you next time.
Absolutely, and you too. And it looks like a great show today, so I can't wait to hear the rest of it.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
The very terrific Lisa Monroe pops in once a week for these segments, and we really appreciate all that she does for us. Our weekly correspondent on naturism, Lisa Monroe, and she will be back next week. You are listening to Naked Nudist and Naturist, episode 38 today. Thank you for being with us. I'm enjoying this hour. I hope that you are too. Living clothes-free for all of the right reasons. And now let's get to part one of my interview with Dario Western. He's a big advocate for naturism, nudism in the country of Australia. He's also a musician, does a lot of other things in life. So let's get to it right now. My interview with Dario Western. Let's go over to Australia this morning. We're going to talk to a gentleman who's very active in the nudism, naturism area. Big advocate, longtime advocate for living clothes-free for all of the right reasons. He's also a musician and promotes everything all over the place and does a great job of it. So let's welcome him to the show this morning from Queensland on Australia, Dario Western. Good morning, Dario. How are you today?
Good, thanks, Frank.
Good to have you here. Now, as I understand, it's basically summertime where you are, right? It's the flip of the northern hemisphere. Southern hemisphere is summertime right now?
That's right, yes. It's the middle of summer here in Queensland, in Australia, and weather is swelteringly hot, and we've also had quite a number of cyclones and storms recently as well. So we're getting hit with the sun and heavy rains and savage winds all at the same time, you know.
I was envious of you for a moment when you said high temperatures, but then you have the cyclones, the high winds. Now, you guys can keep that. We have enough of our own during the summer. You have a chance to get outside much during the summer, or are you an inside guy? Or, I mean, by inside, I mean, does your work life keep you inside?
Yeah, well, I usually go to a nudist a place in Caboolture, which is about 45 minutes away from Brisbane, called the Pacific Sun Friends. They've been around since 1978, and they have a lot of activities there, like special occasions, including stuff like Christmas and New Year, and they're also doing a New Zealand hangai. Very soon.
Well, very good. We'll get to your music in just a few moments, because I know you play a lot of instruments. A lot of people say, yeah, man, I play the guitar, you know, whatever. But you do play the guitar. You also play trombone, violin, and some other instruments, piano. I know you play a lot of instruments, and you've been in bands. You have your own band. We'll get to that in a minute. But let's talk about the whole nudism, naturism thing, and beginning with the fact that you had sent an email out recently. You were already booked for the show, so that's not why we brought you on specifically, but it's perfect timing. You sent an email, basically YouTube knocked your channel off. And maybe just tell us what the channel was and what you think happened there.
Brisbane Naturist was a channel which had some of my own footage of activities happening in Brisbane, such as the previous World Naked Bike Rides, a charity photo shoot that we did called the Bare Hearts, which we donated the proceedings to a company called the Butterfly Foundation, which helps people with body image problems and eating disorders, and also a show called You Can't Ask That from the ABC in Australia, where they take people who are considered fringe types and they put them under the microscope and ask them all different types of questions. And they had a episode dedicated to nudists on it as well. Yeah, unfortunately, all of that got taken off. Even though none of the content was, pornography or adult stuff or anything like that. But I think YouTube has just become very over-strict as to what they will allow on their website now.
Well, there used to be a deal on YouTube. I don't know if they still have it, but I'd fire up a video of whatever, and it would say you have to sign in to view this video because it's restricted. You have to be such and such an age. Do they not do that anymore?
They do that still, okay. But they say the nudity should only be to do with arts or medical training.
And then, of course, the next question is who decides what's art and what isn't, right?
Yeah, well, they say, art or beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Right. We talked to a talked to a gentleman from New Zealand who had brought up the issue that happened in Florida in the United States at a school. I think it was sixth grade, so 11, 12-year-old kids. And part of the curriculum was studying, you know, in art, art class, studying Michelangelo and, of course, his statue of David. You know, David is nude. It's a nude statue. And they showed the pictures because that's what we do. It's in the curriculum and approved by the board. Well, heck broke loose, and the principal got fired. I think the teacher kept her job. But what in the world? I mean, if that's not art, what is art, right?
Well, I think it comes down to culture, because a lot of American culture, especially from, like, you know, the South and all that, I think they're very much influenced by the whole Bible Belt thing, that, you know, nudity is sacred. It should not be viewed except by your doctor or your spouse. And the other thing that I would say is that that YouTube is an American company, so they are very much, you know, complicit to you know, the cultural and legal standards and norms of their own country.
True. Yeah, I think they're based out in California, which is known to be a fairly liberal area, at least the part of California where they are. So you would think there'd be a little more discretion shown or a little more allowed, because your channel, as you pointed out, was not pornographic. It was not sexual. But what, you used the term nudist, or you had a bare back or a bare breast? What happened there?
Yeah, it had some frontal nudity, like, especially with the clip off the photo shoot, and from the show where You Can't Ask That about nudists. They very much sort of, like, you know, took offense to that kind of thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't give you a warning or send you a stern letter, or just, you're here one day and you went to load it the next day, can't even find it?
Yes, doing the channel in one fell swoop. I didn't get any warnings or anything.
What do you do now that that's gone? I'm sure you still have access to all of your videos saved in your computer. At least.
Oh, yeah, I've still got the videos on my computer. There is another website which is dedicated to video hosting, and it's a lot more sort of liberal than YouTube. It's called Rumble. Mm-hmm. I first heard of it from a internet acquaintance of mine called Cleo McKee, who runs Topless Topics TV. Because she has also been the victim of censorship and hate, you know, for showing, like, you know, topless videos of herself online. So she had to look for alternatives to YouTube, where she can freely, you know, display, you know, semi nudity on the clips.
Okay, the two I had heard about, you mentioned Rumble. I've heard about that one. There's another one called Vimeo. Apparently, a lot of naturist nudists go there to post their videos. And
Well, the Australian Naturist Federation now uses Vimeo after their YouTube channel got deleted late last year.
Oh, I didn't know that. So even Vimeo was taking down nudity?
No. YouTube. The Australian Naturist Federation's YouTube channel got deleted, so they moved all their clips to Vimeo.
Okay, good. All right, so there are platforms out there, but they're not as big or as popular as YouTube, as I understand it, right? YouTube is like the big daddy. And
Vimeo is a pay site, so you have to pay a certain amount of money to host your videos on Vimeo. I think you can have three videos for free on there. Then after that, you have to pay like a monthly or an annual fee for it.
Oh, okay. Now, what about if you want to view the videos? Do you have to pay to go on to view, or is that free for everybody?
The videos are free for people to watch. Okay. It's only the video content creators that have to pay to have them hosted on Vimeo.
Okay. Are you looking to do something like that? Get on Rumble or Vimeo and get your videos out there?
With Rumble, and Vimeo, no, because I'm pretty much a one-man operation, so I don't really want to. I don't really want to deal with them. Yeah.
Okay. Now, you're running some kind of a Facebook group for nudism in your area. Maybe tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's called Brisbane Naturists. It's a Facebook community that's been around since 2007, and it's got like nearly 550 members on it. And I've got a few co-admins on there, and yeah, they don't basically don't put up with any nonsense. You know, if there are people who try to join in, they're into stuff like swinging or porn content creation or any other sort of dodgy stuff, we just take them off straight away.
Yeah, well, yeah, wisely so. You don't need that nonsense. But what is the overall gist or the overall goal or the overall interaction of your Facebook group?
The overall interaction is basic questions, you know, that they ask, like, you know, what's happened this weekend, what are the best places to go, where can I take my wife or my girlfriend to, what are the legal nudist beaches around where we can go, you know, those sort of questions.
You know, we keep going back to the beginning of this. You put the word nudist out there, naturist, naked, whatever. People automatically assume it's pornographic or sexual. And you even mentioned you have people coming in. Hey, it sounds like a party time. And you have to usher them out of your Facebook site. What do we do about that? We just keep doing what we're doing and promoting the agenda that, hey, folks, it is not. In fact, if you do that, we're going to get you out of here. Is that what we do?
Yeah, well, Facebook, as we know, is a pretty strict website. Okay. You know, if you're caught, promoting like adult content on there, you know, they'll shut your group down. And a few years ago, we took on a couple of young naturists to co-admin the group for a while, and they changed the name of it from Brisbane Nudists to Brisbane Naturists to make it a lot more of a safer community.
Okay. And that's basically passed their test so far?
Yeah, pretty much. Haven't had any major problems. And the group is set to private as well. We basically vet everyone that comes in. But ironically, it's some of my music groups that have had the most problems with stuff like adult content being spammed on there and whatnot.
Yeah, it's... Now, being a private Facebook group, does that give you some level of protection? Because not everybody can access it, obviously. So it's not necessarily out there in the public, or does Facebook see it? Hey, if you put stuff on there, public or private, we're going to take you down.
Yeah. I think it's public groups that tend to get the most troublemakers and stuff on there, because they can automatically join and post whatever they want. Whereas with private groups, the admins have the right to be able to, to approve or disapprove the messages when they get posted.
Okay.
So it allows them that a much tighter level of control.
Okay. Now, I know that you're a musician. We've talked about that already during the interview. But we also played a couple of your songs on previous shows here at Naked Nudists and Naturists. Is that tied into your whole love and enjoyment of nudism? You even write songs about it? Do you have many out there? I think we played two out here. Is that your whole catalog, or do you have a whole bunch, or what do you do with that?
I've got a whole bunch, but at present, not like doing anything with them, because, the town that I live in is like pretty conservative about nudity, even with nudity in performance art. It doesn't have much of a scope for it. Mm-hmm. But I've had quite a few lineups for the band, and we played at a few like small festivals and at Pacific Sun Friends a couple of times.
Okay. Yeah. Now, when you perform on stage, I know not in Brisbane because you've already mentioned very conservative there, but have you ever performed as a musician while nude, or do you keep your clothes on and sing about nudity?
Yeah, I have. I performed at Pacific Sun Friends with a couple of female singers. This was going back about 2017. Okay. And one of them was an American American girl visiting Australia, at the time. And she was a model and singer. And the other one, she's now living in Roma, which is about 400 kilometers out from out west from Brisbane. I don't see her too much.
So they're gone. Any chance for replacements, or is that basically it for now?
Yeah, it's basically for now. Okay. Yeah.
What was the reaction? So you guys are up on stage performing music with no clothes on. How did the audience react? How did the local authorities react, or whatever happened there?
Yeah, the audience quite liked what we were doing. We only did probably about four or five numbers. Some of them, took a couple of peeks with their smartphones and they gave us a pretty good response.
Okay, well, good. All right. Well, at least there's some hope. You didn't get arrested that night or taken off stage. You were able to perform nude.
Yeah, well, Pacific Sun Friends is a clothing optional place anyway. So,
oh, good. Okay.
You know, if you want to go nude, that's fine. If you want to be dressed or semi-nude, that's fine too.
Okay, well, that does help. And I know there are some other groups out there that do that, and one of them, I believe, either performed with you or you helped their career, the Soap Girls. You've talked about them before. In fact, I think you sent me an email about them. What do they do? Are they still around? What's going on?
Yeah, the Soap Girls are they're a French sister duo with a male drummer. And they started out very young, like in their early teens. They used to do busking and performing, and then they moved to South Africa, and they were getting tired of female performers being constantly objectified in there because of the clothes they wore. So they would perform topless on stage, and they did that for a few years, and then I think the South African government sort of came down very heavily on them. With their political agenda that they were promoting with the music, so now they perform pretty much dressed.
Oh, well, sorry to hear that. And that, we've also mentioned this many times, and I know you have too. If every musician performed nude, it wouldn't really be a big deal, would it? It would just be normal, which is what we're trying to do: is normalize nudity, naturism, because that's how we were intended to be. As everybody says, that's how we were born. So wouldn't that be great if everybody, before they got on stage and clothes came off, they go play guitar, piano, sing, whatever. Everybody claps or cheers if they like the music, and they go home, as opposed to, whoa, I can't believe they did that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if we get to that point?
I mean, there are some bands that have, performed nude on stage before, especially in Australia. We've had a band in the 80s called Lubricated Goat, who performed fully nude on the ABC show Blah Blah Blah. They did a song called In the Raw. And it just got people talking a lot about their performance, because their intention wasn't to do with sex or bodily objectification or anything like that. It was just about being in your natural state.
Yeah, and there have been many incidents over the years of people trying something new and shocking people, starting with...
There's also a Australian punk band called Painters and Dockers who also did a clip in the late 80s called Nude School. It's on the International Young Naturists Forum group on their homepage. And, it's about... It's a sort of like a satirical song, about a headmaster, demanding that his students take the classes nude. Mm-hmm. And the clip features the band stripping off and playing in a whole big barnyard, with a whole load of farm animals stuff.
Okay.
And it's pretty funny. Yeah.
Well, I was even thinking of topics not. Nudist or naturist topics, but let's just start with a woman walking around with spiked pink hair. Now, you tried that 50 years ago. People would have said, that's a nutcase. We need to get her off the street. Now you see somebody with pink spiked hair. You don't even look twice. It's just normal. It's become normal in our society. lots of other examples like that too. But what about nudism? Can we ever get to the point where nobody does a second look? Oh, the guy's naked. Yeah, whatever. You know, hi, Dario. Hi, Frank. How you doing? And we just move on. Can we ever get there?
Yeah, we have some places in the Western world where that sort of thing already happens. I mean, you probably might be familiar with the French town named Cap d'Agde, which is on the Riviera. And it's a clothing optional town, and you know, you see like a whole generations of families, you know, happily going about their business nude during the summer. Mm-hmm. And you know, nobody gives a damn whether you're naked or you're dressed or whatever. They just treat you with the same amount of respect.
Right, which is really the way it should be, and that's our ultimate goal. Beyond Brisbane, where you live, what is the naturism, nudism life like in Australia? Is it frowned upon? Is it encouraged, or wink, wink, nod, nod, or what goes on there?
Yeah, well, Queensland is the only state in Australia that doesn't have any legalized clothing optional beaches.
Okay.
There is one that I go to called Alexandria Bay, which has been used since the early 1970s by nudists. And basically, the law and the politicians at the time turned a blind eye to them because they didn't think that they were much of a threat to anyone. Mm-hmm. But in the recent years, there's been a few, overzealous cops that have, that have been booking the male nudists for dangerous behavior or whatever, just because, you know, they're swimming or sunbaking nude. Yeah, down south, in other states like New South Wales and Victoria and South Australia and Western Australia, we've got clothing optional beaches. And we also have a annual clothing optional festival called ConFest, which stands for Conference Festival, which is held every Easter. Mm-hmm. In a small town on the border of New South Wales and Victoria. And we get people from like all over the world that are coming to it. It's a sort of like a very bohemian festival. And although a lot is made about the nudity that's present there, most people go nude only when they go swimming in the river, or they go to the arts beach to do stuff like sculpting or body painting or life drawing. And they also have like music and drum circles where people often dance nude or semi-nude to them, to the instrument.
Yeah, so there is hope. There is hope out there. You mentioned life drawing a few moments ago. You're pretty heavily into that, right? As an artist and as a model?
I've done mainly like nude photography, but I've done a bit of life drawing, both behind and in front of the easel. Yeah, right. So that's, it's a lot of fun. It takes a lot of practice, to sort of like, get it right, especially when you look at the complexity of the human body and all that kind of thing. But it's still a pretty good activity.
Yeah, we've had Dan Hawkins on the show before. He writes under the pen name D.H. Jonathan. He's been a nude model forever, like 30-plus years. And he said sometimes it's actually very hard work. You have to hold poses and your muscles and your bones kind of creak and hurt a little bit, so...
Yeah, because usually life drawing artists, they start out with poses for about 3 to 5 minutes, and then they go on to about 15 minutes the maximum.
Now, the classes you've done as a model, these life drawing classes, were they basically nude classes anyway, or was the nudity just one or two nights throughout the semester?
I think it was pretty much the latter, but I once attended a... nude modeling class where everyone took it in turns to sketch each other for like 10 minutes each, and that was quite interesting.
Yeah. I've heard of those classes where it's a drawing class, people are getting a degree in art and they're sketching this, they're painting that, whatever, and then a particular night, well, we're bringing a nude model in tonight, so it's a bit of a shock even to the students, like, what, and what are we doing here? And then the model does get nude, and there's that first gasp of, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm here. But what people have told me, including Dan, that's what I'm asking you, is at some point fairly early on, okay, you're the model, the clothes come off, everybody sees you naked, but then they just get busy and do their drawing, and it's not that big of a deal anymore?
Well, I was a nudist before I got into doing nude life drawing.
Right, but what I'm asking is the students, if they're not necessarily nudists, you come in and get nude, they look and they say, my gosh, I can't believe I'm here. But then within minutes, okay, you know, whatever, I have a job to do, I have to draw this. So it's not a big deal after a while, right?
No, I haven't sort of experienced that. The students were made well aware that it was like a nude modeling session. So, yeah, they all knew what they were there for. So there was no like gasping or giggling or anything like that. They took to it, you know, as soon as I got my gear off.
Now, what about your photography? You discovered that fairly early on in your life. I saw your parents bought you a camera when you were a little, or maybe 10, 12 years old, and you've just enjoyed it ever since then?
Yeah, I got interested in photography in the early 1990s, and I got into doing stuff like glamour and portraiture photography, and eventually some of my work ended up in the magazine Australian Sun and Health, which is sadly no longer around. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed working with with models, and became friends with a few of them.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're a very highly creative guy, Dario Western. I mean, you do the camera thing, you do the musician thing, you do the drawing thing. Is there anything in the creative arts that you do not do?
Probably acting.
Okay.
But I've been an extra before in some music videos. One of them, I rode a bike nude from the northern end of Brisbane to the Kangaroo Point cliffs in the city. Okay. In the middle of winter, wearing only a G-string and running shoes and a helmet. And it was for a band called Violent Soho. Okay. And this was about 2013, and the clips are still up on YouTube. It's called In the Isle. Yeah, the band had heard that I had organized a few Will Naked bike rides around Brisbane, and they wanted me to recreate it for the clip because the song was about people who were often marginalized by society. So, mm-hmm. I agreed to do it for them.
All right.
And, I had quite a lot of kids turning up to the gigs and asking me for photos and autographs and that, when they saw me, and thought, oh, you're that guy from the bike ride video. Yep. Yeah, can we have a photo?
That's great to hear. We're talking to Dario Western this morning out of Australia, Brisbane, Queensland area. And Dario, before we continue on, how can our listeners find you, website, anything you want to put out there?
Yeah, they can probably look me up on Facebook. I've got a page dedicated to my music. I'm also on Instagram, and I was on Twitter and X as myself. But I found that the site's become very sort of politically toxic in the recent year.
Yeah.
So especially since Elon Musk took over. So
okay.
Yeah, I'm trying not to use it too much. Yeah.
Well, wasn't it politically toxic even before that? I mean, it might have been swung the other way, but it was kind of a nasty place for some people, at least I was told.
Yeah, but I think, with the whole, just after the pandemic, and especially with the, with the changeover from the Trump to the Biden government, I think it's started to get really nasty. You know, the people from both sides, really attacking each other and whatnot. So.
The terrific Dario Western from Australia, nudist musician, big proponent of the world of naturism. We'll have part two of my interview with Dario Western on next week's show. And please remember to like, review, and subscribe Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. Well, thank you for being with us today on Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, episode 38 today. We give you a brand new show every Saturday morning at 6 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. Continue to join us. Check us out on our website, nakednudistandnaturist.com, Spotify, Google, Amazon/Audible, Apple Podcasts, and also on Twitter. You can write us anywhere, anytime, any place. And we thank you for being with us today. Plan to join us for every single one of our shows here, and have your clothes off when you're listening. We have our clothes off when we're broadcasting, enjoying the naturist life.
We celebrate clothes-free living for all. Remember to enjoy being naked, and join us again for Naked, Nudist, and Naturist.
We drop a brand new show every Saturday morning, so come back and join us. Have your clothes off when you do for Naked, Nudist, and Naturist. Have a great clothes-free day.